Justice Radio Station Social Issues App. Democracy versus justice.
I see sisters over there. Ladies, if you need a seat, come right down the aisle. Unless y'all want to stand. Ladies, if you want a seat, come right down the aisle. Make yourself known. Come on, queens. Y'all got to demand your respect. Come on. Come right on down the aisle. If we got ladies in the hallway, bring them on in. Are there sisters in the hallway? We got to set the right example. No lady stands while brothers sit unless they choose to stand. Over here. Queens, what's up? Do y'all want a seat? Brothers, come on, brothers. Brothers, we got sisters over here. I see mothers and grandmothers standing back there. Come on now. We got any more seats over here? Let's do this right. Come on, make yourself known. Don't be shy. Black women have to stop being shy about demanding respect. Come on now. If you need a seat, step on up. Come on. Yes, come on. You sisters in the back, stop hiding. Come on. You can still have a seat even though you have a weave. Come on. Come on. You can still sit. You still a black woman. Come on. You good? My fellow school psychologist, you good back there? You good? You sure? All right, family. Okay, a few more seats. And thank you to the brothers for doing that as well. Thank you to the brothers for giving up the seats. Yes. Thank you to the brothers. You good back there, queen? You good? You don't need no seat. You looking shy. I think she need a seat back there. You need a seat? All right, y'all got this. Who cut the lights off? Damn! He'd rather cut off the lights than give up his seat! All right. Brothers and sisters, around this time, 150 years ago, the United States Congress ratified the 13th Amendment, which we know did not give us political and economic freedom, but gave us a degree of physical freedom. This December of 2015 will mark our 150th year since the official close of slavery. So this year, we must engage in some very deep reflection because we have to ask ourselves a very important question. And that question is simply this. After 150 years since the close of physical slavery, can we use the excuse that the white man is the only reason for why we haven't made more progress? We have to look in the mirror and be honest and ask ourselves, despite all he has done, and of course he is the number one enemy of African people in progress, but is he alone to blame for why we are not much better off now than we were 150 years ago? And if the European is not exclusively to blame for our predicament, then who else is to blame? We have to understand something, brothers and sisters. In order for there to be an oppressor, there must be an oppressed person who is participating in his condition. In order for there to be an enslaver, there must be someone who is enslaved, who is participating in the condition. So as much as we talk about white supremacy, we have to look at the black complicity in our situation. And I'm saying this now because I don't want another 150 years to pass and for us to still be in the same situation Because we don't want to look in the mirror and acknowledge that most of us are as white as our oppressors are. To acknowledge that most of us are infected with the same gene of Europeanism that our oppressors have. It's one thing for another person to oppress you. But it's something altogether different when you participate in your own oppression because you're too comfortable to do something about what you're going through. Now, brothers and sisters, and I say this respectfully, we have to analyze this movement that we refer to as the conscious community. We got to take a deep look at this because as I look, and I can speak on it, I'm the most requested speaker in the conscious community. I can speak on it. But I'm afraid, though, that we might have walked out of the church and left the Bible behind and walked into consciousness and picked up conscious text, but the hustling spirit of the church came right with us into black consciousness. In other words, I'm wondering whether or not we are just as guilty as a T.D. Jakes. I'm wondering whether or not we're just as guilty as a Creflo Dollar. I'm wondering whether or not the conscious community is actually emulating the exact same people who they claim to despise. I got to say this because as we go into the new year, everything has to be under analysis. I look at how a second ago, a lot of our sisters didn't even feel comfortable enough to demand a seat. There's something wrong when a black woman don't even feel that I'm worthy of sitting down while so many black men sit. And that's not the fault of the brothers necessarily, but there's something going on in the community where we don't really feel like community no more. Brothers and sisters, we always talk about once upon a time we used to look out for each other. We used to talk about once upon a time how the next door neighbor could punish me if I didn't do what I was supposed to do. But once upon a time, we were a community. The problem with once upon a time is that the European, with our support, has engineered a process by which most black people live their lives under a philosophy of radical individualism. I think we practice radical individualism more than the Jew. I think we practice radical individualism more than the Anglo-Saxon. I think we practice radical individualism more than any of the other groups who we claim to hate so much. We talk black, but that's the easy part. We dress black, but that's the easy part. We study black, but that's the easy part. I think some of us have gotten comfortable with the cultural Halloween costumes we wear. I think that some of us think that because I burn my incense and because I wear my shea butter, and I think because some of us have been to Africa and read some books and took some trips, because we've gained a degree of knowledge and information, we think that transforms us from slave to free man. Well, I got news for you, brothers and sisters. Information does not cease to make you a slave. Knowledge of your history alone is not sufficient to replace slavery. I'm a student of 19th century black history. And when you study a lot of our enslaved ancestors, you will find that they knew exactly who they were. You will find that a lot of them knew African language. You will find that some of them had knowledge of classical African civilization that would rival almost any scholar we have today. They were not all ignorant, but yet and still they remain enslaved. So then, if information does not transfer you out of slavery, what does? If reading the books doesn't stop your servitude, what does? If knowing where you come from doesn't change the relationship between you and white people, what does? And the answer to that question is power. We suffer what we suffer because we are not organizing and utilizing our power. The relationship between black people and white people is based on a power dynamic. Just like the relationship between a man and a woman is based on a power dynamic. The relationship between a parent and a child, a boss and an employee is a power dynamic. So if the information doesn't stop the slavery, and power does. And power is normally wielded through, yielded through institutions. As long as African people own no institutions, you will always be a damn slave. I want to be clear. Because some of us have gotten so comfortable with the culture that it's become another religion. Some of us have gotten so cold, comfortable with the information that it's become another vehicle of escapism. See, there's nothing wrong with the culture. We need it. It's who we are. There's nothing wrong with the spirituality. We need it. Nothing wrong with the stones and the healing and all the things we do. We need it. But please don't mistake it for freedom. And what I see black people doing is rather than overcoming white supremacy, we are succumbing to white supremacy by simply making it more comfortable to exist within it. Brothers and sisters, all we did is what the church did. And that is, don't transform your reality, just make it a little bit more bearable. I would argue to you right now that most of us as African people, and I'm speaking globally, most of us don't have a problem with white folk. We don't have a problem with white supremacy. We don't have a problem with white racism. No, we don't. Because when people really have a problem with how they're being treated, they do something about it. Which is why I argue we don't have a conscious community per se. We have a learned community. Because once one truly becomes conscious, behavior follows that awakening. So if you claim to be conscious and you ain't done shit to change your situation, you ain't as conscious as you think you are. But let me go a little bit further. When people come in for therapy, right? I'm a therapist. People come to therapy. They're conscious that they're an alcoholic. They're conscious they're on crack. They're conscious they're depressed. They're conscious they're anxious. They're conscious they have bipolar. They're conscious of their anxiety problems. But just knowing that you're sick don't mean a damn thing. Unless you're going to transform the sickness into health. Are y'all following me now? So when we say we are conscious, Are we bragging about the fact we know we're sick, we know about the sickness, but we don't care enough about it to do something about it? Information does not change the unconscious program upon which we operate. I could put a laptop computer up here, put a flash drive in it, with all negative information about African people. Take the negative flash drive out, put one with all positive information about African people. But the computer will continue to run the way it's been running, because the central processing unit will take the data, positive or negative, and use it as a weapon of destruction. You see the same thing amongst the learned community. Everything we learn, we use it to fight somebody else with it. Every ideology, every religious persuasion becomes cause for combat. That's no different than the gang on the corner. See, until you deactivate the Willie Lynch chip, which is in the subconscious, you don't change Negroes into free people. In fact, let me go a step further with you. When we talk about properly educating African children, I think we miss the central importance of education, which is not education. Schools do not primarily exist to educate. The primary purpose of education is socialization. Your son can't read, but he know the Star Spangled Banner. Your daughter can't count, but she can name all the presidents of the United States of America. They don't know nothing about Obama, but they love him. Because the socialization is more powerful than the education. The education is the information. But socialization teaches the people how to think, how to act, and how to feel. You can teach black children all day long whatever you want, but until you socialize them, until you re-socialize our children, until you change the way black people spend, they can study ancient African civilization all day and still go to the Chinese store. I want to deal with it because this is our ancestors' year here. 2015 is 150 years. Our ancestors are saying, I know y'all can do better than this, because we did better with less. Harriet Tubman said, wait a minute. What do y'all mean y'all can't stop police brutality in New York City? Do you realize we stopped the whole damn slavery machine? George Washington Carver says, what do you mean you can't live without the white man's medications? When I transformed not only pharmacology, but agricultural science. Brothers and sisters, Napoleon Bonaparte, and I'm no supporter of any white supremacists, but as a student of military science, I study all generals. I study all wars. And a lot of the wars I study don't even involve black folks. But I got to study the science. And what did Napoleon say about war? He said that if I had to choose between a well-equipped army with no guts and courage versus an army that was poorly equipped with the guts and courage, give me the army with the guts and the courage versus the ones with the weapons, because the moral is to the physical. 3-1. So the reason white supremacy is beating on us ain't just because we don't own nothing. It ain't just because he runs the economy and the criminal justice system. White supremacy is beating black folk because white folk know we scared of them. Can we be honest? See, this is why we got to socialize the children. Because when you socialize, you eliminate the fear. But when you just educate, you don't. How many smart ass scared Negroes we have in America? How many mainstream Afrocentric scholars who know everything about our past, but scared as hell of confronting the oppressor? Education is one thing. Socialization is something totally different. For those of you who've been in the military, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you went to boot camp in the Marine Corps and boot camp in the Army, when you went to boot camp in the reserves, you got an education. They opened up books and taught you what to believe. But it didn't come to life until they made you live it. And through the socialization, which is done in groups, they were able to take you from being who you were to what they wanted you to be. This is why I support homeschool. But I understand that it's a temporary band-aid until we have large-scale academies where we can socialize en masse. Because one of the biggest issues that African people have is getting along with other African people. And if it's one thing that we got to crush and crush now, it is the ego of the Negro. I don't mind talking like this, brothers and sisters. When y'all first learned who I was on the national scene years ago, I was attacked. People accused me of not having no credentials because I didn't come out and say I graduated from the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine with a doctorate degree. They attacked me because I didn't say I got my master's in school psychology from Millersville University. They attacked me because I didn't tell them that I got my principal, master's, and cert from Lehigh University. I was attacked. They accused me of everything under the sun because people who thought they run this thing felt that I was encroaching on their territory. Youth and elder. In many respects, my oratory has been as much a blessing as a curse. Since I don't have an equal on this thing we call a microphone, it breeds jealousy and envy, and people attempt to destroy. But many of them had to take a step back for one reason and one reason alone. Actually, two. Number one, Dr. Umar Johnson's proof is in my damn pudding. That's number one. Who has helped more African children than me? Call his damn name. Who has helped more mothers fighting for their boys in school? Call his damn name. Who put more kids out of special ed? Wrote more letters to the judges to keep them out of jail than me? I don't just talk this. I walk minds. My proof is in the pudding. I don't make a living running around the country giving my opinion but not doing shit. My proof is in my pudding. And feel free to quote me. The other reason why they had to back up is because y'all said so. It was the people from New York to California, from Houston to Chicago, who said, y'all can attack whoever y'all want, but him, you're going to leave him alone. And I want to thank y'all for that, because I don't take what I do for granted. I don't take this time in front of y'all for granted. And y'all know I like to come up and I like to have fun and crack my jokes, but I take it home every night. When we started that fundraiser for the Fred Douglas Marcus Garvey Academy, I thought we would have hit that $2 million. I did. Yeah. I said, for all the children I've helped, for all the free things I've done for my people, for which I need no thank you, I said, they're going to come out for me. Yeah. And a lot of you did. And we raised $250,000, but we're still short. Yeah. And it bothers me because I know for Christmas, I'm always bothered when black people celebrate European holidays, but I was really bothered this year because I said, my people are out buying video games, but our children ain't got a school of their own. My people are out buying TVs and computers and clothes, but our boys don't have a school. It bothered me because when Officer Darren Wilson murdered Michael Brown, white folk came together and gave that cracker $300,000 in 3 weeks. And I'm still floating with $250,000 after 6 months. But guess what? I'm not broken or dismayed. Because the donations are coming. We're going to get to that $2 million, brothers and sisters. We're going to do it. And even today, somebody sent me another article that said, Dr. Umar, somebody wrote another article about you not having no degrees. Another article about St. Paul's has been sold. St. Paul's has been condemned. St. Paul's this and St. Paul's that. Why don't you respond? I said, let me tell you why I will not respond. Because there's no better way to shut up a damn hater than to achieve the goal. So when we finally get to school, that will be all I need to say to those people. But I want to ask y'all, stop fueling the haters by reposting these articles. You're not for me. You do not support Dr. Umar Johnson if you take some hating ass article and go repost it all over social network. Talk about look what somebody said about Umar. No, that's you backing them up. You let it die where you found it. Either defend me or shut the hell up, but don't spread the filth. A 150 years, but we ain't got no supermarkets. 150 years, we ain't got no airline. 150 years, we ain't got a 100% totally African-owned bank that invests in the community. 100 years, where's our dry cleaners? 100 years, we don't produce no automobile, but we invented every part on it. 100 years. Brothers and sisters, we can do better than this. As we go into the new year, there's some changes we got to make. We got to shift the paradigm about some things. And one of the first paradigms that need to be shifting, and I don't speak for this church because I know the people in this church and I know they do the work of the community. And I'm not just saying that because I'm here, but I know it to be true. But we're going to have to start holding religious leaders accountable for the funds that go through their hands. Black people put $3 million in church every weekend. $3 million in the mosque every weekend. $3 million in a Jehovah Witness temple every weekend. With that type of money, why we ain't got schools yet? With that type of money, why we ain't got banks yet? You mean to tell me you give Jesus and Muhammad $3 million every Sunday and you ain't once asked for an accounting of it? We talk about the Chinese man who pimps the community. We talk about the Arab who pimps the community. We talk about the East Indian who pimps the community. But what about the preachers who pimp the community? Do you realize religious pimping is more exploitative than all the others put together? Done in the name of God. So the next time you go to church, after the collection has been offered up, I want you to pick up the collection and go to the middle of the church hall and call out to the Lord and say, Father, Mother, Supreme Conscious, Amen-Ra, Nyame, Chikwu, Olodumare, whatever name you choose. We took up an offering for you. And we're going to go ahead and toss it on up to you. And whatever you need, you take. And whatever you don't need, let it come back down to us. And whatever comes down to us, we're going to give it back to the people who it was taken from, Lord. Brothers and sisters, we got to do better. I'm not against religion. I'm against the fact that the church used to be the most revolutionary institution in our community. I'm against the fact that you collect so much money. have the attention of so many of our people. And rather than organizing them to do anything with it, you put them to sleep. I'm not a socialist, I'm a nationalist, but I understand what Karl Marx meant when he said religion was the opiate of the people. Because religion doesn't teach you to fight back and crush it. Religion teaches you to be comfortable with it. How are we going to win like that? Teaching us to be colorblind. How are you going to win like that? How are you going to blend in? Do you realize how different we appear to everyone else? You colorblind and nobody else is. We're all God's children, you're taught. Well, where were God's children during slavery? Where were God's children during the civil rights struggle? Where were God's children during the Black Power movement? Where were God's children during the Michael Brown situation and Eric Garner? Where were God's children then? Why you keep trying to fit in with everybody for? Do you realize that psychologically speaking, a person who cannot stand alone, a person who is willing to be disrespected just to be accepted, is a person with no self-respect? Why don't white people respect black people? Why? How can you respect the people who you have mistreated worse than dogs for 400 years? And every time you turn around, they want to know if we can all get along. Black man, we got to close ranks. If we want the respect of our women and our children back, we're going to have to stand up and in some cases die for it. The white man has gotten arrogant with his disrespect of black women and children. He's gotten arrogant as hell because we don't stand up the way we used to stand up for our women. I'm not talking about your woman. I'm not dealing with your family. I'm talking about the family. Because you're real quick to get a brother. Well, I look out for my woman. I don't. But what about another sister who ain't got it, man? She get disrespects. Who's going to safeguard her honor? Remember that word, honor? We used to be the most honorable people on earth. You couldn't buy Africans with money once upon a time. You couldn't disrespect our women once upon a time. You couldn't even make us take your money once upon a time.
Democracy versus justice.